Show, and my guest today is author Steve Phillips, and he's going to talk about his book, How We Win the Civil War. Steve, thanks for stopping by, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
All right. So why did you write this book? Because in a lot of ways, you know, this is a big year, perfect timing, but what made you kind of tackle something like this? And it really kind of goes back to what does the country really want? And this is what our conversation will be about today.
Right. Yeah. So I wrote my first book, Brown is the New White, towards the end of the Obama administration, because I was concerned people had not understood how and why he won and what the implications of that were. And so how the country's demographic transformation had created a new electoral coalition. And so then the publisher asked me about writing a second one, the New Press. And I said, the country was so polarized, it was 2020. And I was like, well, maybe let's use the Civil War as a metaphor. And then 8 months later, people carrying the Confederate flag, wearing sweatshirts saying MAGA Civil War, January 6, 2021, stormed the U.S. Capitol and tried to stop the peaceful transfer of power. I'm like, well, this is not so metaphorical anymore. And then as I dug into the research, I began to see that the Confederates and their ideological and really and genealogical heirs have literally never stopped fighting. Lincoln was assassinated 5 days after the supposed surrender at Appomattox after the end of the Civil War. And that carries all the way up through January 6th. And so we need to understand the intensity of the conflict at this moment and then have smart prescriptions for how to actually deal with it.
And what do you see? Because it was an interesting conversation I had with former Congressman Jason Altmaier a couple of weeks ago on my show. Had a conversation with somebody else, you know, both sides of the aisle. I'm going to just, you know, just ask the kind of questions. The people who are going to decide this election in 2024 are going to be the moderates, the people that are not Republicans or not Democrats. What do you feel is going to lead them in the direction of choosing who to vote for in 2024? And a lot of that goes back to, again, our, you know, how we elect. We don't elect on popularity vote. We elect on electoral college, which might need to be changed. There's just different things that might just have been old school that just won't work anymore.
Right. And so fundamentally, there is, and so I've really tried to document in my books, that there is empirically and statistically a majority of people who want this to be a multiracial country, that you saw it in the election of Obama, the first African-American president, and that majority, when it's manifested, actually prevails. And so it's a question of summoning people to what is their vision and what are their values? What do they want this country to be? Do they want it to be a democracy? Do they want it to be a democracy that includes people from all these different backgrounds? Or do they want it to be more divisive, hate-driven, suppressing what's actually taught in schools, restricting women's right to choose, all of these like reactions against the transformation of the country? Or are we going to embrace that and see that there's a way to have a very, you know, hopeful, vibrant, multicultural, multiracial reality?
And I'm mentioning Congressman Altmaier again, because he said that really what's happened is the people that are talking about politics and are involved in almost every election except the big election are either the far right or far left. There's not really a moderate out there. Do you feel that what do you think the moderate sees in this time? And what do you think they put their focus and intention into going into this election?
Well, if you look at the core issues, even just say like the economy, the vast right. majority of people should be supportive of that. But 14 million new jobs have been created under the Biden administration, that the average 401k has expanded by $10,000 over the past period in time. Stock market's up 25%. People are objectively doing better. And so we're in a situation where those types of accomplishments are obscured by demonization and efforts to get people to distract and look elsewhere. Oh, look at the border, all these people coming across the border, we're at risk because of this. And so we have to keep our eye on the prize of what kind of country do we want? What are the values? What are the markers of progress? If you look at the economy, if you look at issues around making sure education, healthcare, that people, everybody could have what they need to take care of their family and be able to allow people to pursue their dreams and their fullest human potential. Or we can try to take things away from people and restrict them and divide them.
And that goes back to the final question, is inflation. I think that's the biggest thing that's going to be in the voting booth on 2024, is how prices have increased so much dramatically in the last 3 years. How do that's addressed to the next administration moving forward with all these great ideas that have really moved the country in the right direction in a lot of ways with certain things, versus the end of the day, lots of people are just struggling financially with inflation?
Well, inflation has actually come down from its highs of a couple of years ago. So just on that level, things are actually getting better. As I was saying, 14 million new jobs have been created. And so more people have jobs. So more, that's 14 million families who actually have more income. The stock market's up 25% over the past year. And so that filters into the 401k. So the actual financial and economic situation of people is much better. And then ultimately, we need to push people in terms of expanding our vision around, can we actually have a more bold vision where we take care of one another and allow people to flourish, getting rid of student debt, things like that, which unleash people to achieve their fullest human potential.
Absolutely. And then that you look at those specific things. But I think that the biggest address will be the win is going to be is looking at specifically how prices have increased so much. And that is absolutely there. And that's going to probably be the decision of decisions in 2024 will be that, because people that just, you know, it's great to see all the jobs created, but we got to look at specifically the costs and how they've increased in dramatically, groceries, gas, all these different things. So things to look at. But I think what you're saying now is that the country can no longer be, and this civil war is a different civil war than the first civil war, in the fact now that the majority is no longer the white rich Republicans. That's really the majority. And in the next 10 to 20 years, it won't be the majority at all.
Right. And that's the fundamental argument that I've been trying to lay out in both of my books, is that the country's population has changed dramatically. That used to be 12% people of color in the 60s. It's 41% now. And so Right. Those, you know, whites who want this to be a multiracial country allied with people of color are the majority and can construct the kind of society that we all want to see, that's rooted in values of justice and equality.
Do you feel, now I'm going to talk about this after you saw what happened in January, you know, 3.5 years ago, do you feel there could be another civil war?
Well, it's interesting that this original civil war, the Confederates succeeded after the candidate who was backed by Black people won, and they could not accept the election results. That's how the succession actually happened. And so they succeeded after Lincoln was elected in 1860, withdrew from the Union, and then that led to the Civil War. So we're not that far away from that scenario where you have people and groups and potentially states rejecting the legitimate elected government within this country. And so it is a very precarious situation that we're in. And that's why I've written this book, and that's why I'm trying to, you know, travel the country to sound the alarm.
So like country, like states like Texas, if Texas decides to secede from United States, and they could potentially do it of the size and the different situations, or other, or Florida, you know, different things. So this is a really an important election in so many ways, but bringing the talking points you brought into the table, I feel if I'm looking at what, you know, Biden's President Biden's riding on right now, he needs someone like you to put those things out there in the whole process, because he's not putting that into his campaign. That's what I looked at specifically in his campaign, is just it's about human rights and rights of individuals, but he's not talking about what he has accomplished based on the points you just gave me.
Well, I would say they have not done a great job around communicating what they have done within this administration, which has been far more people realize. He did do a very good job, I believe, in the State of the Union. So I believe they've begun to turn that corner in terms of making the points and owning their successes to the country.
And that's where it's going to be standing. And that's why you've written the book. What's the feedback so far been in the book? You gotten some good.
It's been great. We've been, traveling coast to coast. We've been in, Portland, DC, Cleveland, Houston. It's just really been very affirming and validating in terms of having spent so much time and effort writing it to have that be well received. So
where's the best place people can check you out, purchase your book and learn more about you? Where can they go?
stephephillips.com is the best place to follow up with me.
All right, Steve, we appreciate it, man. What you're bringing out is not coming out, okay? It's coming out maybe in social media, but it's not coming out. So it's good that you're doing the country to show there is a lot of other things out there that have been success in one administration versus the other, so that people, when they choose in 2024, they choose where they want the country to go. So appreciate it, Steve.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, you're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.